RadioInfluence.com.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. I am Jeff Crushell, the con man is here, and we're your weekly source for performance information. If you want to get in touch with us with any questions, comments, or smart remarks, or if you have a topic or an idea you'd like us to investigate, let us know. We may dedicate a segment or an entire episode to your idea, so we'd love to hear from you. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Info@CrushPerformance is the email. If you are following us on Twitter, or if you're on Twitter, @JeffCrush is our Twitter handle. And on Facebook, go to Crush Performance as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the performance world. Today, a very, very important show. You know, the high performance world is such a great place to be. It's a great place to work and operate. It's also a great place to strive to. But it does present its challenges for anybody trying to get there, to get to the top of the game. You know how difficult it can be, and sometimes it seems unsurmountable, but it's not. Somebody has to play. And if you ever had a chance to talk to people who operate at the highest level, whether we're talking business, sport, the performing arts, it doesn't matter. Anybody at the top, getting there is one thing, but staying there is an entirely different animal. So in our performance programs, when we're helping people tap into their potential and push their ceiling of performance, one of the things we really try to focus on is staying in the moment. We do need to set our goals. We need to point our compass and understand what direction we're working towards. But we really, really need to stay in the moment and understand what needs to be done right now so we can move forward. And that's not always easy. There's pressures. There's challenges. There are so many obstacles that you're going to have to face along the way that if you're thinking about those ahead of time, it can destroy what you're trying to accomplish in the moment. We look back to learn. We look forward to plan. And we work in the present moment. It's so, so important. I was recently asked to help out with a competitive climbing club as climbing is going to be a demonstration sport in the next Olympics. This is a very, very important time for that sport, and it's a fantastic sport. If you've never done it before, I really encourage you to get out to your local climbing facility and just go out for a fun session. It is a tremendous challenge. It's incredibly fun. But for the athletes who are competing inside of that sport, there are multiple challenges. So I started working with the coaches and putting together a developmental program, which I thought was really, really smart. It was a great team effort. And working with these athletes and coaches through the first part of their competitive season was incredibly interesting. It was rewarding. It was challenging. It was a perfect performance environment. I absolutely loved it. So when we sat down after the first third of the season, after a couple competitions had been completed, we went back, sat down with the coaches just to sort of review how everything was going and what we needed to do if we needed to course correct moving forward. And as we sat down, we reviewed every single athlete in the club, broke everyone down, talked about how they did going into their competitions based on the goals they had and what their direction would be moving forward. And I was honestly, ladies and gentlemen, taken back by the feedback from the coaches. One of the good things that I did hear that I didn't expect to hear from these competitive climbing coaches was we needed to designate more time for conditioning, for the strength and conditioning, for the athlete preparation that's going to enhance the climbing ability. So that was a really, really good thing to hear. That was music to my ears, frankly. It's very rare you hear competitive coaches saying, hey, look, we need to take time away from the technical tactical side to really, really develop athletes, especially during a competitive season. So I thought that was a massive leap forward. But something alarming came up in those conversations as we started going through the athletes. We got about two-thirds of the way through, about 25 athletes or so, and well over half had a very powerful word attached to their competitive performances in their competitions. When we looked at their competitions, there was a word there that really struck me, and I had to stop the conversation midstream and go, hold on a second. We got to, I think, our 25th or 26th athlete, and one of the coaches says, well, she really had a hard time getting on the wall at competition. She was just under so much stress. She felt so much anxiety, which was the word. so much anxiety that it was almost debilitating. She literally had trouble breathing. She's breaking out in sweats. She was having a difficult time. And I had to stop right there because too many athletes were feeling competitive anxiety. Listen, it's a real thing. There's no question about it. But to hear that so many athletes in this competitive group were feeling this anxiety was really, really concerning to me. Now, listen, I've had the honor of working at the highest level of sport and also at the development levels of sport and also all around the globe helping organizations and athletes succeed. And I've seen pressure. I've seen athletes succumb to pressure. I've also been lucky enough to be around some really, really smart people who know how to overcome the anxiety and pressure that's related to performance, not just in sport. This applies to life in general. This goes well outside the arena of sport, but sport is just a great place to maybe learn some of these strategies and skills that can help you succeed in whatever you're trying to do. And so while we sat there and contemplated why these athletes, these climbing athletes, were experiencing such a high level of anxiety in such great numbers, we were trying to find answers. And listen, that's what performance is all about. It's about problem solving and decision making, but you only know what you know. So sometimes you need to bring in the experts. When you have a problem that you know you're not fully capable of overcoming, that's where you turn to your performance team. And so what we did in terms of the anxiety and to see it at such a level in so many athletes, we brought in an expert. First, you got to understand if you're going to overcome a problem, you have to accurately define the problem. So we wanted to bring somebody in who could really describe to our athletes and to our coaching staff as well, what anxiety is, what causes it, how do you identify it, how do you anticipate it, and how do you head it off at the pass? Because we know if an athlete's not armed to deal with the stresses of sport and the challenges of life and how to deal with anxiety, we know it can be debilitating, but it can also manifest into something far, far worse. And that's depression. Listen, depression is one of the most common mental illnesses worldwide. And the fact is, it might even be higher in the athlete population than the general population for a number of reasons. So today, we want to get to the root of all of this. What is anxiety? How can you deal with it? What is stress? How does it turn into depression? How do you deal with depression? Why do athletes experience depression at a higher rate than the general population? We're going to talk about all of this. We'll be joined here right away by Christy Gallette, registered psychologist specializing in mental health and educational psychology. Christy spent the last number of years focusing on trauma, anxiety, and mental health promotion. It's going to be a fantastic conversation, and we're hoping it will help you out in a lot of different ways. Later in the show, I want to go back with one of my former mentors, the late and great Harvey Dorfman, who is recognized as a pioneer in the world of sports psychology. He has a number of great books, including The Mental Game of Baseball, The Mental ABCs of Pitching, The Mental Keys of Hitting. And while a large part of his work focused on baseball, he worked in the NHL. He worked in collegiate sports. He was just an all-around pioneer when it came to sports psychology. And Harvey, as one of my mentors, shared a lot of his insights and approach to helping athletes succeed in the world of sport. I want to share some of his thoughts with you. So let's get to it right now. We're joined now by Christy Gallette, registered psychologist. Christy, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Jeff.
Well, a very important conversation. We know that stress, anxiety is very prevalent in sport. It's prevalent in our, I guess, general population as well. And there's reasons for that. But there's also great strategies and coping mechanisms as well, Christy. But I think, you know, in terms of solving any problem or dealing with any issue, it's really, really important for people to understand what it's all about. So maybe, Christy, we could start there. Again, we have all these topics you and I have been throwing out, anxiety, stress, depression, suicide, traumatic events. Maybe let's just give everybody an overall sort of view of what you do and how you address maybe these things from the big picture.
Okay, sure. We all experience stress in our lives. Some of us are better able to cope with it depending on because we have social support or we've just had a lot of experience with stress in general. So our bodies kind of know how to respond and we've practiced those coping strategies. So we can deal with higher levels of stress better than others can. I work with, children, youth and families when it's kind of gotten to the point in that they can't deal with those stress. So it's become toxic stress. So it's affecting all areas of their life. The individual is unable to cope and unable to, engage in pleasurable activities anymore. They're unable to maintain healthy relationships or they're unable to have success, at work or in school. So we kind of work on building those coping strategies and connecting with support networks so that we can maintain our own personal wellness.
Yeah, because it can be all encompassing. It can swallow you up if you allow it. And you know, I think one big message to send here right off the top, this conversation today, Christy, with you, is to raise awareness. Now, for everybody who's listening mm-hmm. today, we had Christy come out to speak to some of our athletes. And maybe I'll just preface this, Christy. Christy, I was working with a competitive climbing club in town here who you have a great relationship. Your brother is the head coach. So this really fell into place nicely. But I sat down with the coaches mid-season after a few of the competitions, and we're just trying to discuss how we can help the athletes achieve their dreams and, you know, progress the way we want them to. And getting feedback from the coaches on some of the competitive approaches and competitive results, I was blown away at the mention of anxiety and pre-performance mm-hmm. anxiety and stress in relationship to so many athletes inside of this club. Now, I've been lucky enough to work at the highest levels of sport, and I get it. The guys at the top and the, you know, our Olympic athletes have great professionals around them, but at the developmental levels and the recreation levels, and even out there in the general public, it might be hard for people to understand maybe the signs and symptoms for one, or even the fact that there's help out there to be had. But what right. really, really surprised me was, you know, in these sports like climbing, wherever there's judges, gymnastics, diving, you might want to talk about dance or even freestyle skiing, mm-hmm. you know, anytime you're being judged. But then in the spotlight for athletes where, you know, there's people watching, and if you're under contract, the professional, you have TV, radio, you have all these guys judging you, it's a really, really tough thing. So Christy, we had you out to talk to our athletes, and it was a fantastic and I think, you know, really life-changing conversation for a lot of the young athletes. That's how this conversation came around. So I'm really glad to have you on today, but maybe mm-hmm. let's go there. Let's talk about our athlete population, because I often believe that, you know, it's such a great study to look at our athlete population to learn a bunch of things, because it's so controlled and we've got data and we can progress and see trends inside of sport. And when it comes to anxiety, stress, depression, athletes mm-hmm. aren't immune. As a matter of fact, it seems like the incidence of these, you know, sort of I guess conditions are at times, and according to some of the research, higher among athletes than the general population.
Right, right. Well, and I think we look at athletes too, and we think, oh, well, they're the epitome of wellness, right? Look at them; they're physically well. They have to be healthy. But wellness isn't just physical health, right? I mean, the mental health, emotional health is such a huge aspect of that that we forget that there's things going on inside of our brain and our bodies that are impacting our wellness overall. And being a professional athlete or a high caliber athlete, I mean, there's personal expectations that add stress. There's expectations imposed by others. So whether that's parents, coaches, the community to perform, that adds stress. And then there's also just that fear of negative outcomes, because when you're at a high caliber level of sports, you want to be successful. You want to be the best. But sometimes that comes at a cost, because we don't know how to deal with all of those expectations and added stressors all at one time. And the physical, taking care of our physical self isn't the only aspect that we need to do, right? We need to do things so that our brain's healthy, so that our emotions are healthy, and that we can cope with these situations.
Yeah, and you need strategies for that as much as you do for developing strength, speed, and power. Yeah, we're talking with Christy Gillette, registered psychologist specializing in mental health and educational psychology. She has a recent focus. You've been in the business for 11 years with a recent focus on trauma, anxiety, and mental health promotion. So a very timely conversation for a number of reasons. Some of the data I looked at, and I'm always conscious of this over, you know, working with our professional athletes and international athletes, but understanding where they come from. This anxiety thing really, really has me sort of fixated, because I think there's tangible things, Christy, for athletes, if they know, and coaches and parents, if they know the signs and symptoms of anxiety, to be aware of it, step number one. But there's some really simple things, and you presented those to our athletes. There's some simple things you can do to help overcome, and part of it's just planning and being aware. Don't you agree?
Yes, absolutely. We need to be aware, number one, that we all have some level of anxiety. We all experience it day to day. And then also to recognize when it's kind of getting to that point where you have to do something about it. You can't just let it sit. Because unfortunately, untreated anxiety often leads to depression. So that's kind of the worst case scenario, right?
So when it comes to anxiety, it was interesting because some of our athletes, and I've dealt with Olympic figure skaters, our freestyle skiers, you know, these judge sports where there's a lot of pressure. But anytime you're under the spotlight, it can be difficult for athletes at any level, you know, and I think, you know, if we understand the signs and symptoms, you know, those butterflies in the stomach or the nervousness or the sweating or the increased rate of breathing, the heart rate going up, you know, all these things that sort of indicate anxiety. A lot of this can maybe even, if you can channel it, can be used to your advantage. But when it gets to the point, Christy, where it gets debilitating, I think that's where we really, really need to be take active steps to you know, I guess, countering what's going on. But it takes a team, whether it's the parents or the coaches just being aware, but certainly the athletes reaching out for help. So what are some of the signs and symptoms and maybe some of the simple coping strategies you would suggest for athletes out there and for parents and coaches to be aware of?
Sure. So you mentioned some of the signs and symptoms of anxiety, such as, you know, that increased heart rate, frequent headaches, stomach aches, dizziness, loss of sleep is a big one, whether that's because of racing thoughts or you can't slow your mind down or you can't maintain your sleep throughout the night. Loss of appetite or increase in appetite often happens. And the biggest one is just kind of that negative thinking, which impacts all areas, right? So I can't do this. I'm not going to be successful. And then it impacts your ability to even just engage in relationships. So you no longer want to be around friends or family. You don't want to go to social events. You can't be successful in school. You have that loss of attention because you're so focused on your worries and your fears of what's to come. And sometimes the fears and worries are justified, but sometimes they're not, right? We get stuck in that constant negative thinking and we can't get out of it. So to differentiate between, you know, just normal day-to-day anxiety, like you mentioned, it can actually help us perform and to do better at the things that that we are wanting to be successful at. When it starts to impact the other areas of your life, such as school, work, relationships, then that's when you really do. You need that team, you need your family, you need your friends, or it could be at a school, so you need your school community or a counselor to help you through that and to work on some coping strategies. A lot of the coping strategies with anxiety focus on the body and being aware of what's happening in your body. So such as that racing heart. And so going through some deep breathing, which we talked about with the climbing team, some muscle relaxation and positive thinking is kind of number one, right? So if we can change the way we think, then we can change the way we feel and we can change the way we act.
Oh, Christy, great insight. Such great advice there. Thanks so much for that. Listen, everybody, we have to cut out for a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Christy about anxiety, depression, and how to deal with traumatic events right after this on Crush Performance. Please stick around. Crush Performance, we're your weekly source for performance information. Join me, Jeff Kershaw, and the Con Man as we dig deep into the science and research of talent development and skill acquisition to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it really takes to achieve human maximum performance. And go to our website, crushperformance.com, to get details on my brand new book, The Performance Plan, strategies for top performance in sport, business, coaching, and life. Our goal is to help you get better, and it starts with The Performance Plan. Get control, get focused, and get results. We're Crush Performance. Join us weekly right here on Radio Influence.
This is Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information with Jeff Kershaw. Get in the action and text Crush at 10-12-60 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
And welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Kershaw here. Thanks for sticking around. Today, we are talking about anxiety, stress, depression, trauma in sport, and how it relates to the athlete. But this goes well, well beyond sport. We're talking with Christy Gallette, registered psychologist specializing in mental health. Christy spent a lot of time in the last few years focusing on trauma, anxiety, and just mental health promotion. We'll get back to that discussion right away. But if you have any questions,
comments or smart remarks or an idea for a show, get to us. If you want to comment on today's show, crushperformance.com is the website. You can follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush and on Facebook, Crush Performance. Let's get back to the phone line. Christy, thanks so much for sticking around over the break.
You know, for a young athlete, even for a professional athlete, where sport has sort of become part of their identity, it's really, really important. And maybe for somebody who's not as involved in sport, it might be really hard to understand why it's so important or how something that should be fun and exciting and just a sort of a recreational part of life can have such an impact on a person. Well, it is because it becomes sort of part of their identity. And when that falls apart, I think it runs really, really deep. You mentioned something that I think has been all powerful in my mind, and I've seen it work. Mm. Just the idea of positive thinking. Christy, do you think that comes from regulators like setting realistic expectations or goals and objectives that you can focus on rather than outcomes? I think we've gotten to the point where we focus so much on outcomes, it almost becomes debilitating. Does that kind of make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. If we're looking, you know, at the end goal without the small steps that go in between to get there, it can be overwhelming, right? So if as a professional athlete, for example, your end goal is to get to the Olympics and that's all you focus on, instead of like one step at a time, well, I need to first, you know, maintain my physical health. And then I need to learn how to do positive thinking so that I can be successful at this competition. And, you know, we can't always look at the big picture without the small steps in between, because otherwise we won't be successful. It's too much to comprehend, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned something in our seminar. You talked a lot about failure and how to deal with failure, because boy, you know, and Christy, we say it on the show all the time. Look, there's really two important things you need to focus on. Learn from your successes, but also learn from your failures. Sometimes your worst day, your worst performance, if you understand and can dig down deep why it happened, becomes maybe the most valuable opportunity to push you forward. It might become the most valuable day in your development. So it all maybe depends on how we frame this stuff up as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, like you said, failure isn't the end. So I made a mistake. What now? What can I do? And that's where your team comes in too, right? So if you're making mistakes, you need that support team to help you work through that and be like, well, what do I do next? So I failed this time, but what can I do next time? So instead of, oh, I failed, I can never, ever do this, what's the point? Well, it's not even worth trying. Instead, we want to change that thinking around to, I will be successful next time. I can do this. I will learn from my mistake. I am worthy of being successful, right? So positive thinking is so amazing once you practice it and you can implement it into your daily life.
Yeah, we're talking with Christy Gallette, registered psychologist. Christy, I was looking at some of the numbers in relationship to sport, and of course it goes into the big pool of data that just is focusing on anxiety, depression, and all these really, really important topics. But I saw a stat from a very, very reliable source. Right. In the Journal of Psychology, talking about adolescent anxiety disorders. And this data, I had to go back and read it. And then I had to dig down on some of its references because I'm going, this can't be possible. And in this one study, they did a research and it seemed very legit. But in this one particular study, they said 1 in 3 adolescents meet the criteria for anxiety order. And half of these by the age of 6. And that got me thinking, by the age, what in the heck is happening when you're 6 that's going to cause anxiety? So, Christy, maybe in your experience as a registered psychologist, Christy, where does it start? Where do the roots of anxiety and depression come from? Can we head it off at the pass, so to speak?
Well, we can in some ways. So it's all based on the individual, right? So everyone's life experience is different and everybody comes into the world with a different set of genes. So it's the nature-nurture debate. Both contribute. So genetically, there is a gene that contributes to anxiety. So if someone in your family has anxiety, you're more likely to also have it. That doesn't mean for sure you will. You're just predisposed. And then environment plays a huge role. So if at a young age I've been impacted by a negative life experience, then that can actually change my brain development and my stress response system so that I develop anxiety or some other mental health disorder. So I do work in schools, so we do see kids as young as like you said, six that are displaying symptoms of anxiety. Does that mean that they'll have it forever? Well, no, because that's where the coping strategies come in and the positive supports. And we can actually change brain development up until really the age of 60. And we can overcome that. Again, coping strategies, support network, all of those things, positive thinking contribute to it. But again, it's individual based, and anxiety doesn't always mean that it's an anxiety disorder either.
Right. And that's where it gets tricky. And that's where you need to reach out potentially and get some help by professionals mm-hmm. such as yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Chrissy, let's go one step farther to the dark area of depression. And it's out there and it's very, very real. And it's really good mm-hmm. to see that we're more open to talking about this in the general public. There's some mm-hmm. great programs that have really raised the awareness, but it doesn't make it any easier to deal with if you actually experience depression. This is a tough one, isn't it?
It really is. And it does impact a large percentage of the population. Like I said, we all experience some level of depression, and then there's others that have major depressive disorder. So it's widespread, and there's so many factors that contribute to that, whether that's untreated anxiety or just, like I talked about before, those negative life experiences or just ongoing stress that we can't manage.
Do you think, Chrissy, just being aware and knowing that you're not alone, that's a powerful step, I guess, right off the bat, isn't it?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, there's, like you said, there's lots of positive programs out there and campaigns that are raising awareness, but there's still that stigma, unfortunately, that, you know, it's not like physical health. So if I'm walking around with a cast, people ask me how I'm doing, what happens. But mental health is kind of, you know, it's below the surface and we don't always see it. So we're not asking people how they're doing. We're not reaching out to them. And vice versa, that person with a mental health often feels ashamed or weak and doesn't want to reach out for help because they feel like they should just do it all on their own, which isn't the case. You need to reach out and you need that support.
Yeah, so important. It's one of the most common mental health illnesses worldwide, and it's mm-hmm. definitely been increasing in the athlete population. And, you know, you mentioned it earlier, you know, sport and athletes have been perceived as positive and beneficial and healthy mm-hmm. and aggressive and, you know, all this positive stuff around sport. But boy, oh boy, the self-esteem, anxiety, and stress has really, really increased in the sporting world. And there's lots of reasons. I think we've mentioned them, you know, being judged in any sport where you're being judged, it's very difficult. But, you know, career terminology when you're or you know, when your career's over, that's a really tough thing for athletes to deal with. The pressure yes. of the spotlight in collegiate and professional sports, injury, concussions, we know, even the drug use, the banned substances can have a massive impact on personalities as well. So there's lots of areas. And again, awareness is step number one, I think, in all of this.
Absolutely. Yeah, it really is. I mean, being aware, number one, that you're not alone, that mental health impacts everyone. Whether you're experiencing it yourself or a family member is experiencing it or a close friend. And then number two, that there is help and there's people trained to support you, and that mental health is just as important as physical health. We often don't see that link, right? But I mean, they impact each other and they ebb and flow between one another. So we really do need to take care of our mental health in order to have overall wellness and to be successful at whatever it is we want to be successful at.
Yeah, no question. We're talking with Chrissy Gillette, registered psychologist. Chrissy, you know, in all the data we look at, and of course, we're all connected in some way to someone who's taken their own life. It's been in the news recently, especially with all of the awareness around concussion and CTE and the massive depression these ex-professional athletes have been dealing mm-hmm. with. But the word suicide comes up, and that's a scary one for me, Chrissy. It really mm-hmm. is. Because when a person loses hope and everything mm-hmm. seems that helpless, that's where we really, really need to be aware. But again, like you said, it doesn't show on the surface. We can't tell. So again, raising awareness here might be one of the most important things that we do.
For sure. I mean, because when you're at that point where you're extremely hopeless or an individual is extremely hopeless, they're not going to tell you. So we won't always know. And we sometimes miss those signs because they can be very subtle that someone's dealing with depression or anxiety or suicide or thoughts of suicide. So just raising that awareness, even just having open conversations about the importance of mental health, even within your own workplace, family units, you just need to have those conversations that it's okay to to not feel well, but also when you don't feel well, there's supports available. People can help you. You're not alone, because often individuals get to that point where they do feel alone. And, well, who's going to help me, and am I worth it?
Yeah. And I think that family unit conversation is really, really important. You know, just even around the dinner table, talking about it when it's in the news. I've lost two very, very close friends due to suicide, and I'm still stonewalled. Listen, Christy, there were no indicators, nothing I can think of. These are some close friends. And so this one for me is very, very troubling. And I really, really hope that if anybody gets to that point, maybe they hear this conversation and maybe there's some hope, because there is hope. There's people out there who can help. Any advice from you for people who are dealing with these kinds of thoughts?
Yeah. So when you're dealing with those kind of thoughts, well, number one, to recognize that it doesn't make you a bad person. At some point in our lives, we all come to a point where we feel frustrated or hopeless, but we don't all experience thoughts of suicide, but they are normal, and there is help, and you can overcome them. That it's not the end. Suicide's not a solution. But it's also, you know, a red flag that, hey, I need to talk to someone. And we're not always comfortable, you know, reaching out and connecting with them, but there's a whole new way of connecting with people. Since we're in the age of social media and technology, there's online chat groups. You can connect with counselors via text or email. You can phone hotlines at any time of the day, because our problems don't just pop up between, you know, 9 and 5.
Right.
They often happen at night when we're thinking about things. So those crisis distress lines are 24 hours, and they're trained counselors or therapists that know what to do and know who to connect you with. There's all different types of resources. And even if you go to one and you're like, oh, that's not for me, there's another resource that will help you.
Yeah, I know, it's great. And we're talking with Christy Gillette, registered psychologist specializing in mental health education psychology. You spent a lot of time recently focusing on trauma, anxiety, and mental health promotion. And this is another part of the conversation that I think we should get to, you know, in light of what's happened here recently with the Humboldt Broncos and that tragic loss of these great young athletes and people in that Broncos organization. But around the world recently, Christy, there's been some devastating, devastating events. The school bus accident in India, and now the military plane crash in the Far East. There's been a lot of traumatic experiences. And again, this is something I think we need to be aware of as well. This impacts a lot of people, even if they're not connected directly to these events.
Right. Yeah, because we can all relate to it in some way. So whether that you mentioned the school bus. So if we're a parent, we can relate to that in thinking about the loss of our own child, or maybe we've even experienced that already, unfortunately. Or we can relate to it, oh, what if that was my friend on the bus? Or, oh, I've lost someone, I know how that feels. So we all personalize the situation, which is okay, because that gives us empathy to understand other people's experiences. But it impacts us, and it brings up our own unresolved grief, or even just experiences with grief. And then we have to deal with that on top of, you know, hearing these tragic stories, because it's very hard to hear someone else's pain and suffering. And if we're not trained to let go of that, it often sticks with us throughout the day. And so somehow we ourselves need to cope with that, in addition to those individuals that are directly experiencing it.
Yeah. And Christy, are there strategies, like sitting here by yourself now? I worked with one of the players who passed away in the Humboldt tragedy. And I'm telling you, hold on a sec. I'm sad, right?
Yeah.
And I feel for the parents, and I feel for everybody involved in this, for sure. But I know people who had no connection to this. And it's in a lot of ways, it's really nice to hear all of the support. But for the individuals out there, I can't imagine what the families are going through. But knowing there's that you're not alone, I think seems to be a theme here today, but knowing you're not alone is a really, really powerful thing. And the outpouring of sympathy and condolences from around the world is almost heartwarming.
Yes. Yeah. And I think you said it right. We need to talk about it. We need to acknowledge that it hurts and that we're all affected by it, and that's okay. But if we don't talk about it and we keep stuffing it down inside and stuffing it down, right? It's the analogy I use with kids all the time is it's that volcano. You can only stuff it so long, it's going to come out. So we need to have those conversations. And then we also need to recognize, well, what makes me feel good and what makes me feel well? So whether that, you know, physical activity is always great for wellness, we can go for a run and get rid of some of those emotions. Or maybe we like to write. So we sit down and we write a story, we write in our journal, or we like to read or draw, or even just spending time with those people we love. Or spending time outside is always good too, or listening to music. There's so many things that we can do that make us feel good and that will actually help release some of these emotions and deal with them.
Yeah, so great, Chrissy. Thank you for that, most definitely. So I've often thought that sport is a powerful tool and it can help in so many ways. And I think this conversation today, sport can be one of those powerful tools for coaches. Sure. Chrissy, for coaches, for parents, for young athletes, for older athletes out there. Now, what are some of the simple takeaways, do you think? I mean, sport is such a great way to teach, I guess, maybe tools for life in general. But also, if you're an athlete that's going to try to chase down the dream, there's definitely strategies out there to help you deal with, hey, man, these things that are just real, anxiety, stress, depression, these are real things. Maybe as a takeaway, Chrissy, what would be some of the messages you send to our parents, our coaches, and the athletes that are tuning in?
Sure. Well, number one, we said it over and over, talk about it, bring that awareness to your family, to your team, that it's okay to experience anxiety, or it's okay to feel sadness or depression or any of those kind of negative emotions. And then number two, that there is help available. So when you're talking about that, let them know there's help available, whether that's you know, your immediate family or your team or within your community where they can go. And another takeaway is just that positive thinking and that you need to change your mindset, that it isn't hopeless, that you can overcome this. It just takes some time, some practice, and learning strategies that work for you, because what works for you isn't going to work for everybody.
Great stuff, Chrissy. If people wanted to get in touch with you to maybe get some more advice or maybe just to bounce things off of you, would that be okay to reach out to you?
Sure, absolutely.
How could they do that, Chrissy?
Well, they could send me a text or they could phone me at 780-387-1108. Or they could also email me at Chrissy, I'll spell it K-R-I-S-T-Y, .Gilett, G-I-A-L-E-T, at WRPS11.ca.
Great, Chrissy. Hey, thank you so much for that and this great conversation today. Very timely. And it's real, Chrissy. So listen, I really appreciate you today. And I appreciate you coming out to talking to our climbing athletes. And it's a big part of sport and raising awareness, I think, is really, really important. So thanks so much for this today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
There you have it, everybody. Fantastic conversation. Chrissy's given her contact information there. So if you need help, reach out. There are a lot of avenues for sure. And again, this is all to help you in sport and beyond. Really, really want to thank Chrissy for that important conversation. Coming up after the break, we're going to go back to one of my mentors, the late Harvey Dorfman, who was a pioneer in sports psychology. He left us with a couple of very, very important insights when it comes to dealing with stress and anxiety. We'll get a little flavor of Harvey Dorfman right after this on Crush Performance.
Radio Influence brings you the best in digital media broadcasting. When it comes to sports, we've got experts like national sports radio host Rich Herrera, the fabulous Sports Babe, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy. Want a good laugh? Then go on the beach with Pants and Roller Girl, or just LOL with Nancy Alexander. And when it comes to real life, Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger and Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill will make you think. When it comes to what you want, Radio Influence has you covered. Find our programming on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
All
All right, welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Kershaw here. If you want to get in touch with us, crushperformance.com is the website. On Twitter, at Jeff Crush. Listen, a very big show today as we talk about anxiety, stress, dealing with traumatic events, and deep, deep conversations that even touched on suicide and how to deal with those things. I've got to thank Christy Gillette again for that fantastic conversation. I think one of the main things that we can do as coaches and parents and even as athletes is just to be aware. And that's why conversations like this are so important. But when it comes to anxiety and stress in sport, well, I think we need to keep things in context. And there's no question in my mind that one of the best ways to reduce anxiety and stress, especially when it comes to performance at competition, is to make sure you're very clear and concise with your goals and objectives. Listen, if winning is your goal and objective, you're in big trouble because it's largely out of your control. All we really want our athletes to focus on is their particular performance. And that's going to be determined by parameters we set going into the competition. Very realistic goals. And here's the key. Whether the athlete succeeds or doesn't reach his goals or accomplish his or her goals, we learn from it. If we do well and maybe surpass our goals and objectives, we go, wow, how did that happen? And we learn and we move forward. And if things didn't turn out the way we want, we look at it and go, wow, how did that happen? And we learn from it. That's the key factor here. But understanding the big picture is so important. That's why conversations like this are so important. I had a mentor back in the day. His name was Harvey Dorfman, one of the pioneers in sports psychology. I was very, very lucky early in my professional career to be around such great people like Harvey Dorfman. And Harvey and I struck up a very, very strong friendship. And I was lucky enough to tap into his knowledge base. And I guess we're all lucky enough here that we captured some of them through the radio show early in the days. But Harvey had some very, very interesting perspectives in terms of how athletes can overcome and achieve despite adversity. And I want to share this one with you where Harvey talks about control and being in control of your situation. Listen to this.
I use an example. I was teaching a psychology class at a grad school years ago. I bring in a linseed oil can, a big old linseed oil can, empty. I have an air pump. I put the pump next to it, and I put the plug into the hole in the can. And we're talking about pressure and stress. And I start pumping. I'm extracting the air from the can, right? The class is watching. The can starts to shrivel and crinkle, make noise.
You're sucking the air out of it.
When I'm finished, it's like this, you know, damaged thing. I say to the class, what just happened? Well, of course, I get the answer I wanted. It was the wrong one. I was happy for that. The air on the outside, the pressure on the outside was too much for the pressure on the inside. Yes, why? Well, because there was more pressure on the outside. You know, you took the air out, okay. See, on every surface, 1 square inch, there's 15 pounds of air pressure pressing on me, inside, outside, on your head, inside your head, on my desk, under my desk. Okay, when I took that air pressure, I took that air out, I say to the kid in the class, listen, I didn't increase the pressure on in the external world. It's still 15 pounds per square inch. Mm-hmm. What I did was I took out the resistant air pressure that was inside the can. So I say to the kids, if you keep your air pressure inside steady, you will not succumb to the external air pressure, meaning the pressure of your existence. So it's not about, oh, I'm feeling all the pressure. It's a big game. I'm feeling all the pressure. It's about the money. I'm feeling all the pressure because I'm a free agent. I'm saying, do you have inside what it takes to countervail these outside pressures? And so then I teach them a perspective that they never thought of before. They didn't think that they can be in control of this, rather than the circumstance being in control. And that's what you can teach. If you take control of your world, you don't feel, oh, you recognize it. Let's not be silly. Of course you know all these things exist, but you don't give in to them.
And there you have some sage advice from Harvey Dorfman on just dealing with pressure and being aware of your environment, but staying in control. I think a lot of athletes underestimate how much control they actually have over their environments, their actions, and what goes on around them. Keeping it in perspective is incredibly important, but still, never underestimate the power of stress and anxiety. Don't ignore it. Reach out, maybe even embrace it in a way, but get help. Athletes have been through it in the past. They're going through it right now. You're not alone, that's for sure. Harvey and I had many, many conversations revolving around anxiety as we watched athletes overcome, helped athletes overcome, but we also saw great athletes succumb to the pressure. It's very unfortunate and sad, and I think, you know, conversations like this may help a lot of people, even outside of sport, maybe deal with it. I was talking to Harvey at one point about nervousness and anxiety and what his credo was. And I'm so glad we have this soundbite to share with you. Listen to this.
Being nervous, which is the word you gave, being anxious, anxiety takes it to the psychological level of being dysfunctional. I was scared out of my gourd before I played. When I played. Why? Because I knew I wasn't very talented. But what I also knew is pay attention to the game, not to your feelings. They'll go away. They'll dissipate. In other words, you know, is the tail wagging the dog? No, I'm the dog. I'll wag the tail. I am going to pay attention. As soon as the game started and I'm involved in the game, that stuff goes away. Now, if you're talking about an anxiety where a guy can't get over it and is dysfunctional when he plays, well, that's real.
Sure, Chuck Knobloch might be a good example there.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's a good example. And that's complicated, and that's not for now, I'm sure.
No.
But what happens is if you start giving power to nervousness, to sweaty palms and dry mouths and that, then, you know, it's going to distract you. You won't play well, and you'll say, see, I can't play well when I'm nervous. Instead of what I had to do because I had no talent is pay attention. That was my credo. Pay attention. Now, what am I paying attention to? What I have to do in the game. And guess what? I'm not anxious anymore. It just goes away. You can ask people in the military about this.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting stuff. Performance anxiety, the credo, pay attention. Words of wisdom by Harvey Dorfman. Harvey, we really appreciate your time. You know, it's been a long time since we've talked to you. We do not get you on enough. We know you're very, very busy working with the Boris Corporation and all his elite athletes. But once again, we really appreciate your time.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Let me just say in closing that credo is to be strong without being insensitive, to be compassionate without being weak. That means you have to learn how to move back and forth between those two to be effective. So it's not either or. All right.
All right. Crusher,
thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Harvey Dorfman. Harvey, appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
And there's some sage advice from our late and great friend, Harvey Dorfman. You have more control than you think. You just need to figure out how to get control. And that's why we're here. I have to thank Christy Gillette for joining us today again. Her number, if you need to reach out to her, is 780-387-1108. Or if you want to reach out to us, please get to us on the website, crushperformance.com. Info@crushperformance is the email. We have connections. If you need help, we're here to help. That's what it's all about. So don't hesitate to reach out, and please don't hesitate to share this show, a very, very important conversation today. I'd like again to thank Christy for joining us. I have to thank the late and great Harvey Dorfman, and I want to thank you guys for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is a fabulous Sports Big Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Seattle is a very nice, kind place. They were in no mood ready for me. And you know, if we sat down at your table and somebody said, oh, I was, well, you would get up. You wouldn't say, get another table. You'd say, oh my God, I'm sorry. I'd get up and somebody would be, you know, they would sit there and you'd wait. I mean, it's really bizarre there. I once said to, I guess it was Tom Flores when he was there for not very long, I said, I want to make the last draft choice. They said, you want to what? I want to take the last draft choice. And they're like, what? I want to make the final draft choice, the 12th one. And they're like so stunned. They're like, what? And I was like, I want to make the last draft choice. And everybody, and you know, the people are like, blah, 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 blah. Nobody can say anything because they're all having a breakdown. And I do that. But it was some guy that did well. And I had to laugh because he did it for so long. And they were just so shocked that I would do that. I said, of course I was. I was being the babe.
The Fabulous Sports Big can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and RadioInfluence.com.